Hi, this is Ross Allen Skorzewski, and today you are listening to the best of the best of The Mark Gunger Show.
Caution, The Mark Gunger Show contains adult content intended for an adult audience. And besides that, he's really weird. Welcome to The Mark Gunger Show with national marriage speaker and author of Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage, Mark Gunger. This is your source for practical, down-to-earth marriage advice without all the over-spiritualization or romantic nonsense. And now the host of The Mark Gunger Show, Mark Gunger.
And the crowd goes wild with pure joy at the very mention of my name. This is the Mark Gunger Show, the show that discusses all things concerning
marriage.
I am, of course, the one, the only Mark Gunger.
I'm not a smart man, but I know what love is.
And that's why I have the show. Joining me is the ever-charming and brilliantly capable Diane Brierley.
He's completely lost his mind.
And, of course, the infamous Ross Allen Skorzewski.
There's a fine line between tough and crazy, and you're flirting with it.
Engineering is always in the background, pushing buttons, twisting knobs, and who knows what he does out there. Timothy Ray, making things possible for you to hear this program. This is the show where we answer your questions concerning your marital challenges, your relational conundrums, your dating dilemmas that you can email to us at radio@markgunger.com. So you can send that off to us, and you get to be anonymous. We get to be brutally honest.
And mean.
Sometimes I'm just
so mean.
And
Mark is mean.
Let me say something. When you email to me, I don't know who you are. I would never be this mean to you if I knew who you were. Okay? And when you tell us your story, I'm often reacting to a million other things just like you. So when I go all off and crazy, It's not you personally. It's right. Just about the thought. It's about the idea. It's about the concept that I think is really hurting and destroying marriages. And so I go psycho crazy on it. And plus, I'm weird.
It's the straw that keeps on breaking the camel's back.
He's not mad at the crazy.
I'm mad about the crazy.
That's
okay?
Right.
It's not you personally. It's about the crazy. And I realize we don't get the whole story 100% from the emails. Now, we do a lot better job today than we used to. Well, we email back and forth. Those of you who get your emails on the air, you know you've gotten emails, a lot of back and forth. We're trying to get as clear as we can.
But sometimes it's still hard to get
then,
it all
we
in.
We still don't have it all. Right. We're just reacting to specific concepts and ideas. If you don't think we've been fair, we probably haven't. So what? You know, we don't know who you
are. We're trying, man.
We're trying to help somebody along the way with these concepts and ideas. And
it takes brutal honesty sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And certainly in a world where everybody's so concerned about not hurting anybody's feelings.
Right.
The premise of the show, you come on anonymously. We don't know anything about you. We don't know who you are. And maybe we didn't get everything, but we just go off on what the information that we know. Mm-hmm. And 90% of the time, I'm not talking to you anyway. I'm talking to a million people out there who are thinking on a certain concept and idea. So that big disclaimer being said, we will continue with this brutally honest show with today's story.
Story for the day. Children of divorce are no longer stigmatized until they start dating. Huh. Now, this is from Elizabeth Marquardt. She wrote the brilliant book, Torn Between Two Worlds, The Inner Lives of Children of Divorce. It's a very good book. It's a very hard book to read if you yourself have been one of those parents. I will tell you that straight up.
Okay.
She says, a young man...
She's related to the wife of... What's his name? Marquardt. I can't think of his name.
I don't know. A young man says, when I go out with a woman, I can always tell on the first date if she's from a divorced family. The women from divorced families are over-anxious, eager to please. They're exhausting.
Wow.
A young woman says, my parents have been married...
That's an interesting thing. I hadn't thought about that.
It's very true.
You know, the Latina
chick.
Think
so?
The pretty girl that emailed us last week and I was brutal to her for boinking this idiot. I wonder if she comes from a divorced family. It'd be interesting.
It's very true. Children of divorce are people pleasers big time.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Especially women. Mm-hmm. Big time.
All right.
A young woman says, my parents have been married 35 years, and I want a long marriage like they've had. I love my boyfriend, but he's from a divorced family, and I don't know. It just seems like he had to be a lot more independent growing up than I was. Frankly, it worries me. A woman writing into an advice columnist complains, I am wary of dating guys whose parents are divorced. I think people whose parents are divorced may have a different sense of marriage, that it doesn't have to be for a lifetime.
Oh, I get the premise of the article now. Uh-huh. Children divorced are no longer stigmatized until they start dating, yes. And then the people who are dating them are, yes, those who stigmatize,
yes,
them. Worried, mm-hmm, about their past and whether or not they
catching
want to repeat
up with
it.
Them. Yep.
Got it.
People assumed that horrible problems must have led to the parents' breakup. Children of divorce felt shame. They were said to live in broken families. This is decades ago in the past. But now, as the divorce rate has shot up in the late 1960s, since the late 1960s and 70s, the stigma about children of divorce began to fade. Widespread divorce became just another feature of contemporary society. Divorce did not necessarily point to pathological problems in families. Instead, advocates suggested divorce simply offered liberation for adults who felt unhappy in their marriages. Children of divorce were no longer said to live in broken families, but in blended families or even binuclear families.
Yet, when families go nuclear.
Yeah.
Binuclear.
Get two people nuclear. Going nuclear.
Exactly.
It's binuclear.
Yet, as the stigma about children of divorce began to weaken, new realities appeared. Social science evidence now demonstrates that compared to those who grow up with married parents, children of divorce are at greater risk for a host of social problems. Divorce also appears to be transmitted intergenerationally. Studies now show that when they grow up, the children of divorce are themselves at significantly greater risk of divorce compared to those who grew up with married parents.
Which is counterintuitive. You would think that these kids, because they saw the devastation on them, they would go out of their way not to. Mm-hmm. Or that's what Ross,
yeah,
he said, right?
I said, never. Mm-hmm. I will never go through this.
Mm-hmm.
I will never put my children through what I went through. I mean, I get the
people
pleaser thing.
Which can be the case.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, it can be the case. Either you, like what you've decided that, no, I will not do this, or it's your normal and you just adapt to your sense of normal.
It's a sense of normal more so now than it was when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm. Without question, divorce on average makes life much harder for kids and the adults that they become. But let's not make the children bear the burdens of their parents' decisions. To those who grew up with married parents, hear this. We children of divorce value marriage because we know what life is like when it's gone. We grew up fast and we know how to take care of ourselves. Many of us, frankly, are quite wonderful, so marry us. And that's what, like, she finished it, like what you just said, Ross.
Mm-hmm.
That you know and you don't want to do this anymore, but...
I think it's an interesting thing that she said that the women are, you know, people from broken families are the overachievers. Are they, what was that little part? Or is it they become exhausting?
Yeah, over-anxious, eager to please, and they're exhausting.
I find that to be interesting. I do get that from coming, you know, from a dysfunctional home, you wanting to please people, wanting to hear the world tell you that you're valuable, that, you know, you're doing a good job. But I never felt that way in a relationship.
It's worse
though.
For girls, I think, because women just tend to be pleasers to begin with. And please like me, please, I will please you, I will make you happy. Because kids spend a lot of time bouncing back and forth between mom and dad, trying to make mom happy and trying to make dad happy. And I think they have a hard time growing up developing any kind of sense of self because they're just trying to be who they need to be for their parents.
Oh, sure.
It's not...
I'm trying to understand this thing she says. This lady, or guy, woman, Mavis Heatherington, said in her studies that grown children of divorce had a higher rate of divorce when they grew up.
Mm-hmm.
But she hastened to point out that on the bright side, if those who married people from intact families had more stable marriages than those who married other children of divorce. So the worst is... divorced people marrying other
two
people.
Negatives,
products of divorce marrying another product
right.
of divorce.
Yes.
Then it says her critic, demographer Linda Waite, who wrote the
Case
for
marriage.
Got mad and said, then what she's really saying is if you're a divorced person, nobody should marry your child. So she must have had a cow about that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, people
well,
get
I mean,
to everything so personally.
Generally speaking, it's true.
This matters to me, she says, because I felt the dark shadow of stigma, too. I came from a divorced family. When I was 22, my mother separated from my second stepfather. At the time, I was in love with a young man who I thought I might one day marry. In a tense phone conversation with my soon-to-be ex-stepfather, he suggested that because of my parents' track record on marriage, my prospects for marriage might not be good.
Mm-hmm.
I was devastated, angry, and scared. couple of decades on, a suggestion like this doesn't have much power to wound me. I'm 14 years into marriage now with two happy kids. I can't predict the future, but I've seen my own life and in the lives of my friends and colleagues who came from families like mine. That statistics describe populations, not individuals. Mm-hmm. And no one of us is doomed to repeat the past. Basically just making, you know, right. These are statistically likelihoods. You can always beat the statistics.
But you have to know that the possibility is out there. If you don't know that the odds are stacked against you if you come from this and you just think, oh, my life is normal and there's these other things, you have to know so that you're aware of it and that you, like Ross is saying, don't intentionally do those things.
Has been divorced despite her writing about marriage. That's why I hit a hot button for her.
That'd be interesting.
And here's the thing. Because what you're saying, when you really look at this stuff, why people get defensive, like the mm-hmm. mom here is getting defensive, mm-hmm. is because all parents say they love their children.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But then they divorce the fathers. Mm-hmm. And at some point, if you just look at the results of that, it's an inconsistent position. How can you say you love your children and then divorce the father?
Right.
Well, I love my – how can you say that? You're saying
Because they feel very attacked.
Just saying, when you look at the studies mm-hmm. and the facts, yeah – yeah, you got a problem. When you say you love your children and then you divorce the father, you're actually doing one of the hardest, meanest, cruelest mm-hmm. things you can do to your children. Now, obviously, if your husband's coming home drunk and beating the children and sexually molesting,
But that's not the majority
that's the exception.
Of cases.
That's not at all the majority. There's people who are mad and he doesn't connect and he's not a good father and he's not meeting my emotional needs and blah, blah, blah. And then you divorce thinking that all the kids will be fine. Look, if you really love your kids, really, really love, like you should, and I know this messes with a lot of people's heads, you will work as hard as you can mm-hmm. to maintain it with that father, even though he might be driving you crazy. That's just the reality. When they see this, you get, well, you're saying that my children, should marry my children? Well, you know.
Do you think there's real truth into, you know, individuals feeling like they're at a disadvantage in the dating process if they come from a divorce home? I never felt that I was at a disadvantage for having a successful relationship or a successful marriage. That never ever once peeked into my mind just because I come from a dysfunctional home.
A lot of people think that.
Really?
Yeah.
They think how to do it.
No, yeah. I mean, they don't know how to do marriage. But what made a difference for me is that you are a Christian. Mm-hmm. You know?
Sure.
And I believe Jesus can change anything.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, in the context of God's grace, man, anything's possible.
Well, you and I have talked about this. It's like, you know, anybody on paper knowing me, would you want me to date your son or daughter? Absolutely not. I mean, on paper, I look really, really bad. Now you pass that down to my children. You know, anybody knowing what my life has been, would you really on paper want to have your son or daughter marry my daughter or one of my sons? Possibly not, if you're just looking at the straight up statistics of that.
But still, statistics are what they are.
Yeah.
So we got to learn from this stuff because we keep repeating this. Here's the thing: everybody thinks they're the exception,
right?
Which kind of irritates me. I mean, it's like, you know, what do we do? Rather than look at the truth, the overwhelming evidence of the destruction of divorce on children, we look at and praise Barack Obama.
Yeah.
Single mom, he becomes president. Celebrate. Even great organizations like Focus on mm-hmm. the Family, you know, the guy who runs that thing. Single mom, all the, and we mm-hmm. celebrate. Oh, what a great, you know, so we tend to take these very much the exceptions mm-hmm. and celebrate them at a high level to where we delude ourselves.
Because
everybody thinks my kid will be Barack Obama. Mm-hmm. My kid will be the next president of Focus on the Family. My kid will be when in reality, those are extreme exceptions.
Sure.
Chances are your kids will struggle. And again, you can trust God and work at it, but you got to work at it. But I'm just saying, it is what it is. We got to just be careful. We need to be smart. That's why. But that's why we're doing what we're doing.
Well, and even in
we're trying to save marriages. We're trying to save these kids. We're trying to avoid this insanity. Because what people are saying on the other side is that it doesn't matter.
Right.
And it does matter. And even in the extreme cases, while they look very successful, nobody knows what they have gone through in that process of being redeemed and having the success. You know what I'm saying? That there's a downside to it. I mean, even my life, I've been very successful and redeemed, especially being able to work with you. But that does not mean that there is not hell to pay on the backside and the underside of my life, even though a lot of good has come from it.
Anyway, there you have it. So, by the way, I look great on paper, or actually wrapped in paper.
Oh, my gosh.
Paper is better than cellophane.
You don't want me in plastic. I don't look very good wrapped in plastic.
Plastic wrap.
But in paper, cardboard, I look fabulous.
Like, just put the paper bag over your head, and then you look fabulous.
All right. I'm going to wrap myself in more paper, and we'll be back right after this break.
Listening to The Mark Gunger Show can drastically reduce your chances of becoming a repeat offender of marital and relational dilemmas in your home. Listen to The Mark Gunger Show Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central Standard Time at www.markgungershow.com.
Have a marriage dilemma? Email your questions to radio@markgunger.com and Mark can answer them during one of our shows. If you like listening to Mark Gunger on the radio, you'll love watching him live. Each week, Mark presents his Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage seminar in cities across the country. This wildly entertaining and informative event is designed to bring hope and positive change to your marriage, improve your communication, help your spouse to better understand you and your needs.
Men are more interested in sex than their wives. Why would you say that? Because generally it's true. But it's not always true. There are a lot of relationships where the wife is much more interested in sex than her husband. If you're here tonight and your wife is much more interested in sex than you are, I think I speak for all the men here when I say that we hate you.
Don't wait. Events are filling up fast. To view a schedule and register for an upcoming event, visit us today online at laughyourway.com. That's laughyourway.com.
I don't care who's right or wrong. I know a way we can all get along. Let's take a ride. Let's take a ride on the love train.
Everybody get aboard.
Chug a lugging all the way.
You're riding on the Gunger love train right now. Everybody stand up there.
Let's roll.
Ready up.
Like the stones playing all day. Hey.
That's it.
Let's take a ride. Whoa. Let's take a ride on the love train.
Come on, Ross, dance, baby. Come on, take it, baby.
I don't dance for you. Oh, I'm not your monkey.
I'm not your friend, Margie. You are on the Mark Gunger Show. Listening to three trained monkeys talk about love, marriage, and relationships. Answering your marital dilemmas that you can email to us at radio@markgunger.com.
First email. Previously, there was an email from a woman whose husband would soon be deployed and wanted to view porn. Remember that one?
Mm-hmm, I do.
How about if he would take some pretty photos of her for him to take with him? Some a bit sassy or whatever that she would be comfortable with. Would that be an idea?
There's a shortage of perfect breasts in this world.
And I think kind of sort of they talked about it because it was the same email, right, that the lady wanted to make her own sex tape in order for him to take along.
Again, yes. My argument would be I don't need a picture. I have a picture in my head.
Mm-hmm. Okay? I'd be worried about somebody else seeing those pictures
of
me.
That's what I'm saying.
And what's this all going to lead to?
She's got a pose for this.
Yeah.
This is exactly what all you going to show. Mm-hmm. You know, you want to take pictures of your wife's boobs naked with you? I don't care. What do I care? Mm-hmm. Not my boobs. Good heavens.
So it's going to lead to masturbation.
But it's not my boobs.
Right?
So that he can look at pictures of her.
And masturbate.
Oh, see, again, I'm against the whole concept of masturbating anyway. So if he's going to masturbate, I don't need. I could sit there and whack-a-doodle myself in my head. I don't need pictures. What is it with these guys that get stuck to these visuals? These are guys who've been
inundated and trained.
Inundated and trained on porn.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You know? So, again, first of all, the premise that he needs to masturbate, I don't buy anyway. He wants to masturbate, thinks about his wife, fine. If he wants to take pictures of his wife's boobies so he can masturbate, then fine. Okay, I don't care. But
as a wife, I'd just be a little concerned about having those pictures floating around. I'm serious. That would just be, I wouldn't like that.
Well, it depends on his wife's boobs. Maybe she's got fabulous looking boobs.
Maybe. And I know there's plenty of women who take pictures of themselves and text them and do all kinds of things. So obviously,
but it's
they're
rare
not
to have
like
perfect
me.
Boobs.
There's a shortage of perfect breasts in this world.
So anyway.
Okay, next email. It's from a teenager. I am seeking your brilliant and sage advice about a question I'm confused about.
Does it have anything to do with boobs?
Possibly.
Oh, okay.
I am 14 years old. I have two older stepsisters, 17 and 15.
Is this a girl or a boy?
Girl.
It's a girl. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Dad, who is the parent who remarried as he had the urge to merge with a woman other than my mom.
Uh-huh.
was asking when I will get a boyfriend. She's 14.
And her
dad,
stepmom or
the dad's
pushing her already.
Your dad is asking her.
Your dad is an
when
idiot.
When will you get a boyfriend?
He's an idiot wrapped up in a moron.
Now listen.
He needs a swirly. And the go button.
My eldest stepsister started dating at age 12.
Oh, wow.
The second one has not dated at all yet. They live with my dad and stepmom most of the time. She must live with her mom.
Surely the one who started dating at 12 is already sexually active.
You would imagine. You would think
surely
so.
Surely she is.
Yeah, absolutely.
See, this is what happens, guys, when you awaken stuff so early like this.
Mm-hmm. 12.
And then these are the 12? Same people. I bet you her father would say, don't you get married until you're through college and everything else. But yet they allow these
sexual
hormones and these feelings to go crazy at 14. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Virtually guaranteeing the moral failure of their own children.
She said, by the way, I live mostly with my mom and my little sister.
Good. Stay away from your dad as much as you can. He's an idiot.
I will never strip down on a date, no matter what.
Mama, bless you.
Mom and I listen to your program regularly and talk about it afterwards. I like how you say, no ring, no thing. I like that motto.
I like this girl.
Never gone on a date, but I've been asked out a few times. My question is, when and how do you know if you're ready to date and what should that look like?
When you're really serious about possibly finding a mate for life, which in my mind, you could start at 16.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I think you'd be fine married at 18.
Mm-hmm.
I happen to know someone who was married at 18. That would be me.
Or even 15. I mean, if it was...
Yeah, you're kind of pushing a little bit, you know, but 16, 17, you know, because you know now, I'm not out there. Now you're not just goofing around. You're really looking for a chance to find someone you can build a life with. You legitimately fall in love with some boy who really loves God and wants to do life right like you want to do it. Start dating then.
Mm-hmm.
Boom. Passions come alive. You commit to each other. You get the okay from mom and dad. And, well, dad, he's a lunatic. Get it okay from mom. And you get married at 18, 19, 20 years of age. Well,
can
that's fine.
Can you be 17?
Huh?
Can you be 17?
And married? Can. Yeah.
With parental,
you might, in some states, you might have to get a signature from your... Yeah, from your parents, but
in Wisconsin, I think you have to have a parent signature if you're less than 18.
In today's culture, that's a little odd, but there was a couple in our church that went through that. They were engaged.
A lot of parents okay it.
Yeah,
yeah. There's a lot of people. There are a lot of people who actually think like me. That and again, I know as horrifying as it is to you people listening to that when we talk like this, those people who do this by and far have extremely low divorce rates.
Mm-hmm.
Oh sure.
And all the people in our family get married very young.
Not you're not saying 16, 17,
no,
but 18, 19.
No, but I'm even saying those who've done it that I know 16, 17. Like the pastor's wife got married at 16, 45 years later. They're still having the time of their life, you know.
Yeah.
You know, so I know. I'm not advocating that per se. I'm saying thinking in terms of 18, 19, you know, as a possible time to get married.
Yeah.
Now, you might start dating at 16, 17, and he's an idiot. He's an idiot. He's an idiot. Now I'm 19. That's an idiot. That's an idiot. I'm 20. That's an idiot. And then you find out, oh, great. And then you get married at 21, 22. I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
Boundaries.
But now
boundaries.
You're doing it seriously. You're not just goofing around and experimenting and seeing what sex is like and whatnot. So anyway, kudos to this girl. Yeah. I like this girl. Get her address.
No ring, let's send thing.
Let me send her an autographed copy of my book.
Okay.
Which will be worth probably nothing. Unless I die in a freak accident. That'll be worth more.
I'm sure.
At least 25 cents then.
Yeah. Up to a quarter then.
I had the conversation with my daughter last weekend who just turned 16. And because there's finally like boys that are interested in her that she's beginning to be interested in.
Yep.
And I said, you know, not this going out single dating alone. You can bring them over to the house. We'll do things like that. Mm-hmm. But if you seriously are not interested in within a year and a half to 2 years being married, I said, that means 18 out of school. Then don't bother. Why are you doing this? And she gets it. She hears you.
Yeah,
she knows
good,
that, you know, we've had the conversations, but...
But there's no guarantee the first guy you're going to date is going to wind up being...
Unless it was me.
Or me.
I mean, and I would 14. Tell my daughter to head for the hills if it was either one of you two guys.
Probably.
Yes. Oh, my.
No, serious. Oh, it's Ross.
No,
wait
no
till
in
your
our family, Gungers, man, they all get married young.
Yeah.
Man, if you're not married by 21 in our family, we start getting nervous.
Yeah.
See, and I have no problem with her
right
getting
now,
married
she,
young.
Is she 21 yet?
Which one?
Lizzie. Elizabeth.
Oh, yeah. I have no idea.
I'm starting to get nervous, man. She should be married by now. No.
You're going to screw up the whole thing, man.
But that's very much the exception.
Yeah.
And
see, I don't have a problem with my daughter getting married young. I have a bigger problem with her doing things wrong.
And we don't have divorces.
Right.
Right.
You know, I got one brother who got married young and had a divorce, but He was a heathen too. So, and there might be one or two, you know, along the way, but still, mm-hmm. it's hard to argue with the fact that mm-hmm. the vast majority of them have been married for a long time.
Yes.
And it's sad that his dad is projecting this on his daughter at 12 years old.
Well, 14. She's 14, years old. And 14. Another one's 12. Sakes. They're letting her date
when
at 12.
When are you going to start dating? Oy. Now, how dumb is that? How many men think like that? Most men are thinking, oh, dear God, I hope you don't date. Yeah. I hope nobody bothers you.
Not until you're 30.
You were talking about this. You already rehearsed it in your head about your daughter who just
was born.
She's a month old.
And he's already, oh, man, when them boys come over, I'm going to have a shotgun out. You know, I mean, so I think that's a normal dad. I feel sorry for you that you're, you know, but it's not your fault. He's him. It's probably why your mother divorced him. But he's still your dad. You got to respect him and love him. That's cool. But just, you know, obviously his thinking is very weird.
Mm-hmm. Very
good for
bizarre.
Her. I like this girl.
Very bizarre. Okay, next one says, I have a question for y'all. How do I stop being jealous of my 17-month-old little girl?
Did they write y'all?
Yeah.
Jealous of her 17-month-old?
It's the husband writing. Jealous of my 17-month-old little girl. I know this sounds strange and irrational for a father to say, but hear me out. Right. She is our first child, and as a working dad and husband, I know I would give myself for both without a doubt, but my both a child and the wife. But my stay-at-home wife told me the other day that the reason why we don't make love more than once every 2 weeks at the most is because she gives all her emotional energy to our little girl all day. And when I get home, my wife is physically and mentally drained. Now, I do take the reins when I get home, leaving my wife to do what she wishes, and I'm the one in charge on the weekends. Obviously, this lack of love toward me will change, God willing, with time, and I can wait it out. What choice do I have? But what do I do in the meantime? I love my wife and find her very attractive, but when we are in the same room is when I feel the farthest away from her.
Yeah, this is not about your daughter. This is your wife. Your daughter's fine. Your wife is a little goofy in the head. You should really get a copy of my Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage DVDs if you have not seen it. I deal with this issue specifically. Mm-hmm. It's women like this that wind up destroying their own marriages because they're so caught up being a mommy that they wind up destroying their sex lives. Then they come roaring back to life and their husbands don't be lovers to them anymore. Mm-hmm. So I would really recommend that you get my DVD and watch it with her or... You know, or I mean, seriously, once a month?
Because they used
twice a month?
I asked him about twice a week is what it used to be, and now it's down to once every other 2 weeks.
There'd be hell to pay in my house. I mean, there's no way. There'd be crying. There'd be frustration. Get a pair, okay? Confront this. Sit down and say, this is not cool. You know? I mean, if need be, say, look, if you don't want to be a wife to me, let's separate, you know, let's see what she thinks of that, you know. She doesn't want to be a single mom.
That's right.
You know, she needs to know there's consequences to this. There's no stinking way that I would tolerate such a thing. Again, you people who have horrible marriages, really, I know it frustrates you, but at some level, it's because you allow it. You cannot tolerate this kind of situation. You need to address it, and you need to fix it now. Be back right after this.
Laugh Your Way presents Mark Gunger's Butt Kicking Woman Conference. Find out what it takes to be a strong, confident, and respectful woman at the second Butt Kicking Woman's Conference, May 20th and 21st at Celebration Church in Green Bay, Wisconsin. This is not your typical woman's conference and will be unlike anything you've ever attended before. This life-changing weekend will feature nationally renowned speakers Mark Gunger, Lakita Garth, and Carrie Pomeroy. Join us and learn how to be the kind of woman that knows who she is, what she believes, and won't let the devil or anyone else kick her around. For more information, log on to www.buttkickingwoman.com.
Are you tired of wasting your time and money on marriage counseling that works temporarily but leaves you worse off than before? My name is Larry Bellotta, and I know what it's like to endure a miserable marriage because I've been there. I lived 27 years in a marriage made in hell, but in the 28th year, I fell in love with my wife, and today we're continuously married, 34 years happier than ever. Over the years of working with couples, I found that one thing holds them back from the marriage they really want, resentment. It's true. If you don't feel good, you won't do good. How many people in miserable marriages can do something positive when they feel angry inside? And it's in struggling marriages that you miss that intimacy, that closeness and connection that you used to have. It's time you tried something that really works when counseling won't. And that something is called the Fulfilled Couple Program. You're going to learn how to eliminate your negative feelings in 60 seconds so you no longer have to get angry, no longer have to get critical of one another. And that's why this program has an 88% success rate. Go to fulfilledcouple.com/mark to learn more. That's fulfilledcouple.com/mark. And get ready to fall in love again.
Actually, the message from the song is very bad, but, but it works because we're talking about love here on The Mark Gunger Show, where we answer your marital challenges, relational conundrums, and dating dilemmas that you can email to radio@markgunger.com.
Okay, this is a wife emailing. She says, I do hope that this is an easy question that Mark won't need to stress about. Here goes. I need some guidance. My husband and I have been married for almost 8 years. It has been a rough ride, but it has also been fun. We have made it so far. We are getting ready to embark on a new chapter of our lives. We are both in the military. We were married as civilians, but have since they were married.
Wow.
Well, the husband is getting ready to get out. He did his six years and is done. So here is the thing. We have seriously never been together in the same house, state, or country longer than a year.
Wow.
We've always been separated, deployments and training. I'm excited for him, but at the same time, I'm nervous. How do we handle each other in our new roles? How do we avoid trying to kill each other by spending all this time together? Don't get me wrong. I do love this man a lot, but he has already started learning and adjusting to this new role. But it seems since I gave up the role of being the nagging wife, the chicken clucking in his ear, it's almost as if...
That chicken clucking! We love the chicken clucking!
So she's given it up, but she says it's almost as if he's taken up that role, reminding me to pick up stuff, to clean up, and blah, 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 blah. What can I do? How do I not let this man drive me bananas?
You're driving me crazy!
Are you nuts?
Oh, well, that's funny. First of all, thank you both for your service. Look, everything in relationships is negotiated. You guys haven't had to negotiate much because you've been separated so much. Well, now you're going to have to do it. You'd either done it before, now you got to do it now. You know, is it uncomfortable? Yeah. Is it hard? Yeah. Does it stink? Yeah. Welcome to life. This is life. This is marriage. Keep a good attitude about it. Don't freak out when you drive each other crazy. Don't forget when you fight. It's okay to fight. Just fight fair. Get my book. Read my book if you don't know how to fight fair. It's life. You wrestle through these things. And, you know, a lot of couples deal with this at various stages. It's very common.
Truckers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've heard this.
Yep. Or when people retire.
When they retire. Yes, retire.
All of a sudden, he's home all the time. They're driving each other crazy.
Go back to work.
Here she's thinking, gee, if he was around more, it'd be great. And then he's around more and, this isn't so great. You know, he's making me nuts. Yeah, so everybody deals with this at various times in life. So there's nothing wrong with you. Nothing unusual. You're not crazy. You're not evil. You're just dealing with life.
You just have to make the adjustments.
And you make the adjustments. And it hurts. And that's all I got to say. That's all I got to say about that.
Here's her PS to you. Mark, I want you to know we started listening to you and started incorporating a lot of your advice into our marriage. We talk more, able to not fight as much, and are having the best sex of our lives.
Hallelujah!
So that was her PS to you.
Good, great.
Next email. Hi, Mark and crew. Just started your Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage class at our church last week, and you are awesome.
I am awesome.
Question for you.
I love me. I am my biggest fan.
Short question, maybe a little bit longer answer. The question is, do you think a Christian couple can work through and forgive each other after an affair?
Yes, of course.
Absolutely. I would hope so.
Sure you can.
Especially if they're Christians.
You can work
through
anything.
Absolutely.
You can forgive anything. In fact, you're obligated to forgive everything and anything. Easier said than done. It's not easy, but of course you can. Sure.
What does it take?
A lot of patience. A lot of understanding. A lot of just faith. One thing you can't do is get guarantees.
Nope.
There are no guarantees in life.
And it's not quick either. It's not a quick fix.
No.
It goes on for a long time.
How can I be guaranteed that they'll never do it again? You can't.
You can't.
Look, if I wanted to go boink some bimbo, I probably could do it before the day's up. Because 58% of women in their 40s
are
ready to do so. Have sex on the first date. Mm-hmm. All I got to do is go downtown, find some chick in her 40s. Hey, when you go on a dinner tonight, and probably broke her little brains out before the night's up.
There's a lot of bimbos for the boy
king. Anybody can go and commit sexual sin at any time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay? There's no guarantee ever.
Nope.
Not from people who've done it in the past. Not from people who've never done it. There's no guarantee. So get past that. You just got to... It's called faith. It's called trust. So, well, I can't trust him. Well, then that's a different. You know why are you still married? So, some people stay married just to torture each other.
Well, and you do need to get counseling for it. We hear a lot from people who that has been the case, and they just somehow think that they can muddle through on their own and that it'll get better and they can just forget. And I don't know that that's a really good idea to do. I think you do need to get counseling and really get some help to work through it.
Yeah, I wouldn't oppose that at all.
So,
but anyway, her answer was, can you get past it?
Mm-hmm.
The answer is,
yes, you can.
Yes.
Yes, you can. Okay, this is just a little butt-kicking woman story that one of the listeners emailed in to you. I have a funny for you. I am trying to stop being the enabler and letting my hubby walk all over me and the kids and to be a strong, confident woman. Well, I know that I have heard Mark say many times that negotiations work well if you have a strong marriage, so I tried it. We just moved into a new house, and with four kids in the house, I don't like to have sex without bedroom doors that lock. You never know when the kids might walk in.
You think?
So, on our first night in the new house...
Traumatize your children.
On our first night in the new house, of course, my husband is frisky. I told him that I would be happy to have sex with him when there were locks on the door. Well, he was a mite upset at me, but guess what? When I got up in the morning, he was sitting in the front room floor looking through his box of door locks.
I bet he was.
That was my first step in realizing that I am worth it and I can stand up for myself and still live.
Good
Thank
for you.
You. I continue to try to put these things into practice in other areas one step at a time, trying to make my marriage better. The box of locks on the floor in the morning.
Box of locks.
Indeed.
Where's he at? He's going through boxes of locks. I need a lock on his door, quick.
Okay, next email says, I really enjoy your show. It teaches me many things about marriage and insights of what I'm going to face later on. She is not married yet. I have a question I would like to ask. My boyfriend and I have been courting for a year, and we are in the midst of discussing about getting married this at the end of this year. Apparently, in Chinese culture in my country of Indonesia, parents play a very important role, and usually one of the sons will have to stay with the parents.
Uh-huh.
My boyfriend's father has agreed to buy a house for us after we marry, but he wants to build it in 2 years' time.
Okay.
He can't do it sooner because of financial issues, she says. And meanwhile, he wants us to stay in his house with my boyfriend's older brother and wife, which means three families in one house.
Uh-huh.
My boyfriend suggested to his dad that we would just rent an apartment while waiting for the house to be ready, but his dad does not agree. We could rent a house with our own savings, but it's not an option to use our money as if we were stepping on the dad's feet. So it's like the cultural thing of stepping on the toes. My question is this. What's your opinion of what should be done in this situation where we know a husband is to leave the parents after marrying, but at the same time still trying to respect them? His dad just doesn't understand why we want to move out while we are waiting for the house to be ready. Now, they're not married yet. This is looking forward that once they do get married, they'll be in the house with the brother and wife and the family and theirs. So, and it's a real heavily cultural thing compared to the United States, I think.
Yeah. Generally, not a good idea to fight against your culture.
No.
Unless it's I'm more about fighting against American culture.
Yeah.
We're more screwed up than anybody. So what? So, I mean, if you're not all sharing the same bedroom, that would be a little creepy.
That would be a lot creepy.
It would be a lot.
That would not be a little creepy. That would be a lot creepy.
Quick, look around. Is anybody awake? No, we're good. Okay, just be quiet.
You learn to have real quiet sex.
Quiet sex. Yeah. You probably won't be screaming and yelling from the chandeliers. Mm-hmm. You're talking a year. You're going to get married, what, and then a year later? 2 year, whatever.
Yeah.
If you promised to build me a house in two years, I'd have no problem living with you.
Seriously,
well, I mean, 2 years isn't a long time either.
No, and you're having great sex. Mm-hmm. You're all by yourself in your own little room. Good Lord, there's lots of teenagers doing this right now. Their parents
are
home.
If they can figure out how to do it.
If they're figuring out how to have sex, you know, while somebody's watching TV, I'm sure you can too. I mean, so what?
Mm-hmm.
Look, he's going to build you a house?
Mm-hmm.
So what? Move in with him. Yeah.
I'm in.
I offered to build my kids a house, and they're scot-free on the house.
Yeah.
And part of the deal is they had to move in here. They'd move in. What the heck?
We lived with you for 18 months. Two separate times for 9 months each, you know?
Our kids have been in and out, you know, just that's life.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah.
You'll be fine.
And if it makes daddy happy, he'll buy you the house.
You can't run around naked.
No.
You know, it's a little odd. And, you know, you might hear things at night that you'd rather not hear, you know, from the brother and his wife, you know.
Yeah.
You know, but they, my guess is they're probably just as concerned about the noise as you are. And they're probably very quiet lovers. And golly, what's wrong with this picture?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sounds great to me. Yeah.
What would it have been like, you know, when you were like Indians years ago, all living underneath the same teepee?
Mm-hmm.
It was unavoidable. It had to be.
Well, like in the movie Dances with Wolves,
yes,
where he's in the teepee with the old Indian man and his wife,
and he looks
over and they're looking at him. It's like, ooh, that's a little weird.
Yeah, in the middle of the night, he thinks everybody's asleep. You just kind of crawl over and, you know,
that's
it's just different. It's fine. People have been doing this for a million years. I promise you. Again, I know it's terrible. I'm not advocating it. There are teenagers that have no business having sex with each other who are having sex right now, probably while their mom is listening to this show.
Let's hope not.
I wouldn't surprise me in the least.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised.
Wouldn't surprise me in the least.
Hey, we were all teenagers once.
Oh, seriously. That's why you don't trust those teenagers.
Right.
You don't let them go in a room by themselves. You parents who are dumber than bricks. Good.
That's
great.
Right.
Oh, no. I spilled on my
iPad.
Your phone.
My phone.
You have a wet phone now.
I do.
You said millions of years.
Millions of years.
I said millions of years?
Yeah, people have been doing this for millions of years.
All right, thousands of years.
There you are.
What I know, I'm spilling stuff on my desk.
He's the hyperbolist.
What you got?
Okay.
My phone is wet.
Are you okay to listen and dry your phone at the same time?
I don't know if I can multitask.
I don't know if
you can
either.
Don't worry, I'll send you a text while she's reading. See if it works.
Dear Pastor Gungor, I love your show and I listen to it at work every day. I love the straight and honest way you discuss such important and relevant
subjects.
That's
because I haven't answered yours.
That's right.
See, everybody loves my brutalness to everybody else.
Yes.
Yeah. When I do it to them, not so much fun.
She's also a Puerto Rican.
Ooh, Boricua.
She's even adopted some of your sayings like good grief and the tone of your voice around the family.
Good grief!
Even though some of your comments are a bit strong for me, she still likes the word cojones.
Cojones! That's right.
She enjoys your wisdom, so keep up the good work. Her question is, since you believe in marrying young, what is your input regarding going to obtaining your college degree before tying the knot? And you've talked about this, so she must not have
heard you. Why can't you get a college degree after you've been married?
You should be able to.
And so people think it's exclusive. It's
and
absurd.
I'll tell you, the one upside of that, because this is what happened to me when I was married and was getting my teaching degree, I could finally get financial aid. Because I couldn't when I wasn't married. You know, you can get the kind that you pay back, but I was able to get grants because now I wasn't considered under my parents' income. And
is that
I got
your
a
reasons,
lot
though?
Of.
I mean, did
but
you
I got
think
a
about
lot.
That?
No, I didn't realize that until I, you know, was going to school before I was married.
Then
I was going to school afterwards.
Because it becomes your income. You have no income. You're available for all kinds
and
of help.
And I got a lot of grants that I did not have to pay back. It considerably diminished the college. What are those? The bills.
All right, listen to the show. We'll show you how to milk the system.
No, it's not that. I
so
couldn't
again,
afford to pay for
never,
college, and neither could my parents.
That wasn't even a part of Leslie's
mindset. Listen to
me,
you people. The very question she asked, and this is assumed normal thinking by the vast majority of Americans. What about college?
Yeah.
What about it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can't be married. Of course you can. Yeah. It has nothing to do with it. In fact, studies have showed that college married people tend to perform better in school than the single ones, particularly. Very true for the boys because they're finally getting sex. They can think about something else for 5 minutes. Dude, you remember what it was like to be in high school?
Mm-hmm. You can't think.
18 years and all you're thinking is, boobies, boobies, boobies. She's, oh, men are perverts. No, all men think this way. It's just the way we're wired.
Boobies.
It just runs through our heads, even if you're a Christian. And then you're fighting not to think about boobies. Don't think about
boobies.
You know how hard it is to not think about something that you say you're not supposed to think about? It's like me telling you people, don't think about elephants right now. None of you right now.
Elephants.
Don't think about elephants. None of you. Not one of you. I dare you. How dare you? None of you should think about elephants at this moment. What's everybody thinking about?
Elephants.
You know, so I mean, good grief. Just all the struggles and you got all this testosterone and this. It is what Paul said. It is better to marry than to burn.
Mm-hmm.
You think you can think when you're burning?
Nope.
I thought I was going to spontaneously combust. In school. Good
and so, you probably do better in school because you're not out partying and
you're
staying
not
out on
partying,
that. And you live
your
differently
sexual
when
need
you're married.
Has been quieted. I mean, you can focus. But this idea of you can't be married and go to school is absurd and ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And you parents who threaten your kids, don't you dare get married or I won't pay for your college education, you should be summarily horsewhipped. These are the parents who should be thrown into stockades. Summarily. They should be thrown into stockades like in the old days and in the public square, and people should walk by and throw garbage and feces at them.
That's what summarily is?
Summarily?
You said summarily whipped.
Summarily.
Summarily.
Never heard
like
of
right
it.
Away.
Right off the bat? Right away? Okay. With due haste? With
due haste.
No due haste?
Summarily, no. You never heard that phrase?
Generation gap.
No, it's an English gap.
We're just older than you. We know the old English there, Ross.
They should.
Yeah,
no, so you parents who talk like that, shame on you. No. I'm not going to pay for your car. Are you out of your mind? Well, they get married. What does it have to do with anything? Why is there a punishment upon getting... Why is there this... You know who really has it? It's you white people. Good Lord. Mm-hmm. Your Caucasian cultures. We don't have it so much in Latin cultures and other cultures. Good, you stay part of the family. You're part of the family, helps the family. Only white people think, you know, well, as soon as you get married and that's it, you're not part of the family, mm-hmm. You know, you're on your own, we can't help you. What kind of sense does this make? Talk about stupid culture. This is stupid culture. And now I'm race baiting all the white people.
Race baiting.
Good grief, all the dumb thinking.
No, oh, it's very much more prevalent in the... white culture.
Good grief.
You know.
And I've been educated. I have now found out what summarily means.
All right, fine.
Without notice.
Yeah.
Immediately.
Yep.
Straight away.
So
in a prompt or direct manner.
See? Prompt and direct manner, they should be horsewhipped.
Right
summarily. Summarily
as
horsewhipped.
As fast as you possibly can.
As soon as possible.
ASAP.
Parents should be horsewhipped for telling their kids they're not going to pay for their mm-hmm. wedding or their college
yes.
or anything because they get married too young.
Mm-hmm.
You should be summarily horsewhipped.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And I'll pay for it. If there's a charge for horsewhipping, I'll pay for it just to watch them get horsewhipped.
Right.
Good
on.
Grave mm-hmm. people. Denny's. Stupid people. Their kids get moving with their boyfriend. Why did that happen? I don't know why. We didn't want it. Why do you think it happened, Mom? What was the message you were saying? Johnny got his girlfriend pregnant. I don't know what happened. We went to church. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Horsewhipped. Horsewhipped. All of them should be
summarily.
Horsewhipped. Summarily horsewhipped. No delay.
But if you get married, you will yank your college funding. We will not pay for your wedding.
Well, they say it all the time.
I know
oh,
they
yeah.
do. I've
all
had students,
the
parents
time.
Tell
yep.
me this. Yep.
Idiots. Just idiots. That's why the show doesn't have a bigger audience, because I insult 90% of the people listening to the show. Mm-hmm. They don't listen anymore. I don't care. You think like that. You are a moron wrapped up in an idiot. Or an idiot wrapped up in a moron. One of the two. Good heavens gracious.
Or a Nimrod wrapped up.
A Nimrod
in
wrapped up in... Kaka, I have no
jackass.
Idea.
This just, we had the jackass
show
going on last week.
Good grief.
Jackass.
Threatening your kids. Virtually guaranteeing their moral mm-hmm. failure.
Really?
I have had Christian parents tell me I would rather have my kids have
which
sex
is ridiculous
than get married.
Ridiculous.
Too young.
How do they morally make such a
because they
decision.
Are idiots.
They're ridiculous.
I'm telling you, they are as stupid as the day is long.
Stupid is what stupid does, sir.
I mean, you can't possibly attributed to anything else than pure stupidity. Because there's no basis.
It's ignorance.
Well, it's not a good idea to get married to you. Says who? Well, studies, my rear end. There's no studies that show that. The only studies that really show that are when they're studying people like under 18
yes.
years of age. That's where those studies.
Yep.
There's hardly any. The greatest study shows that when kids get sexually active before they get married, they have a much higher divorce rate.
That's the kicker.
So that's why you're being so stupid. So you're acting in a way, telling your kids not to get married, so they wind up screwing around, then thereby greatly increasing the risk of divorce later. What have you accomplished, Mom? What is the thinking?
Don't blame them.
That you
though.
Need to have.
You mean don't blame the parents?
Don't blame the parents. It's not their fault. The kids made the decision to have sex.
Oh, that's what
they're
thinking.
The parents
especially
set
if they're Christian
they're
parents.
They set them up for failure.
Sure. I mean, that's a huge
goodness
burden
gracious.
To bear.
Are
we going to
do another break here, or are we just going to blow
yeah,
through to them?
Yeah, let's blow. I'll just rant okay. and rave here to people, for heaven's sakes. You know, pagans, I get people who don't have faith. They don't really believe in God. Christianity has not. You know, look, I cut all your sleeves. You do whatever you want. You know, I'm surprised you people function at all, to be honest with you. To me, a non-Christian is like a hopeless drug addict or alcoholic. You know, even though they're not doing it, it's like you look at a hopeless alcoholic, you don't know how they function at all. You feel bad for them.
How do you yep. manage?
If you don't have Christ in your life, if you're not a born again Christian, in my mind, I think.
How do you manage?
I don't know how you manage life. I don't know how you do it, man. I feel sorry for you. You know, you don't want to become a Christian, you know, do what you want, you know, but I feel sorry. I don't know how you do it. So I don't get rail on those people.
Right.
The way they function dysfunctionally at all is amazing to me. My anger is unleashed on Christians who claim to put Jesus Christ first in their life, God first in their life, and they act foolishly, stupidly, do everything they can to guarantee the moral failure of their own children because they have just dumb thinking in their brains that are not based on anything. Is it, what does marriage have to do that's contrary to a college education?
I don't know how they connect
those
dots.
How do you assume that if you get married, you can't?
Well, because I think that a lot of it is you have to have enough money. You can't be paying college. That you have to be. This is what I hear.
Okay, now take a look.
They think
you
have to have the money and have the job.
Now, this
first.
Is why if people were intelligent, you got parental units A and parental units B. One has a son, one has a daughter. It will be cheaper for parental units A and B if daughter and son get married because now it's going to cost you less money.
No, I'm saying being totally established, like finish college. You need to be established and have the job.
No, they're
and
idiots.
This is what I hear.
They're
I'm just
idiots.
Telling you what I hear. I agree with you, but I'm just telling you.
So they
I
delay mean. Marriage as long as possible. Then they wait to delay children as much as possible. Then all the money they save, they got to spend on fertility treatments trying to get pregnant. Mm-hmm. That goes down the toilet.
And two individuals
and
who've
all
been
they've
doing
done,
life
all
alone.
They've done is they've taught people that everything has to be perfect in order for you to be married. That is the lesson you're teaching them.
Well,
Mom.
And here's the
and
other
it's
thing.
Not perfect.
They are assuming that they're having sex because it's not about getting married so you can have sex. The vast majority of people that I know assume that
they're
their kids
sex.
Are just going to have sex and that that's the
okay,
way it
that's
is.
That's why I get
and
so angry
okay.
at Christian parents.
That that's the way it's supposed to be and that it's
you should be out
kosher.
There just having sex.
It's
no big
not.
Deal. Corrupting your very children, insulting God at the highest level.
Wow.
And these are the people who make me angry.
I know.
I'm not, look, I get pagans out there. Oh, yeah, it's okay to screw on. You know, I don't yell at those people. I get it. You know, you're clueless. They don't get
it. I know.
Again, how they function in life at all, I have no idea. But when people of faith, the Christian faith, claim to, actually, you could add it to almost any faith.
Mm-hmm.
People who claim to be devout Muslims and you're screwing around, are you insane? People who would be claim to be devout Jews, you're out there screwing. Are you insane?
Yeah.
How do you claim a faith position and do everything contrary to your own faith? And then parents virtually guaranteeing the moral failure of their children based on what? How does a marriage status determine whether or not they will succeed in marriage or in college? What does that have to do with obtaining a career? It has nothing to do with it.
Their thinking is broken.
30 years ago, I could see it if you were afraid, well, she'll get pregnant, and then she won't be able to finish college.
Sure.
Not that way. Okay, but in today's culture, with birth control and everything else, I mean, it's hardly even a consideration at this point,
right.
Which has its own problems.
Mm-hmm.
But no way can you say marriage is going to halt their ability to finish school. If anything, they become more focused to finish school.
Help them
if
do a good
anything,
job.
They become more focused to start a career.
Mm-hmm.
If anything, they get more focused to get a good job and build.
Or to start a family.
And they're learning to do life together, even when things are hard.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So you wait till they get later in life, till everything gets just perfect, and then they get married. The problem is, it's still going to get hard for them. Mm-hmm. What was that email we got? You know, we were married, and then he lost his job.
Yeah.
Everything was fine, and now everything's falling apart. See, that's what happens to these people.
Yep.
They wait till everything's just right, then they get married, somehow instilling in their brains that in order for me to be married, everything must be right.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see why people get divorced? They literally start out with the concept that in order for this union to exist, everything must be perfect.
Sure.
And as soon as it's not,
that's what you're saying, Mom and Dad.
Yep.
And then they finally get married because everything's now perfect. Now you give them the green light, they get married, and then in 5 years he loses his job. 10 years from now, the economy goes to the toilet.
Mm-hmm.
14 years from now, the doctor tells her she has breast cancer. Everything falls apart like a deck of cards. Why? Well, they can't function now. We can't do it now. Why? Well, because everything's not perfect. Who says it has to be perfect? They did from the beginning.
They set them up for it.
Absolutely.
And that's why we have such a high divorce rate. The people who build marriages who last for a lifetime are the ones who marry younger and who have great adversity.
Mm-hmm.
These are the ones who get it.
And support from their parents.
This is a good email. Can we close with this one? You'll like this one.
All
it's actually from somebody who has a brain in their head when it comes to their teenagers. to the radio gang. My 17-year-old is starting to want to date one-on-one. I told her that the amount of freedom she has...
How old she is?
She's 17.
Okay.
I told her the amount of freedom she has will be based on the dating homework that she does. I have been asking her to watch the teen DVDs, and she has to watch the... She had watched the first one and laughed and then dragged her feet about the other three. So I told her she needed to watch them in order to go out on the date. She watched them on Saturday. She had a date to the movies planned for Sunday and canceled it. She didn't say why. I asked her what she thought. She said it freaked her out in a good way. She talked with me about it, and we had a great conversation with her and her friend. Awesome, hey? And thanks for the DVDs.
Well, bless your heart, Mom.
Some mom's doing it right.
There's some people got a clue out there telling their 14-year-old, hey, when can we start dating?
12. What do you mean 12? 14, 12.
Yeah, dear, you're 12 years old. Come on, need a boy.
I think it's good that they
summarily horsewhipped.
Summarily.
Show your kids the DVDs and scare them in a good way. That's not such a bad thing to have your kids scared in a good way.
You get on that DVD, it would freak out a little bit, especially the one coupled with you and Pam Stenzel. You'd be a little kind of nervous, you know, about dating, I think, a little bit.
You should be a little bit nervous and think this through a little bit. You should.
I would be curious as to what that meant, dated, scared in a good way.
About what scared her in a good way? Well, it probably made her think twice about that it's not just going out, la, 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 I'm going out with a boyfriend, and, you know.
Well, as long as he's a good boy, he's not planning, unless he's planning to feel her up or something.
Well, maybe there were some red flags. Maybe there were things that she, you know, were called to her attention after listening, the reasons why you date and everything
well
you talk
be.
About.
Absolutely. Awesome.
You know, because there could have been some things that all of a sudden were called to her attention that, maybe he's not such a good boy for me, when she heard it from the crazy man ranting on the screen. It could be.
Good.
It very well could be.
That's good. My phone is finally drying off here.
Are you getting it all dried off?
Yes, I'm all...
That's a theological question. That's too long.
Theological, too long.
Too long. I think all of these are too long, but we'll give a shot at this one. This is kind of, we're really running out of time. This is kind of an odd one. She wants to know what forgiveness looks like. My husband of 22 years was arrested for child internet pornography last May. I asked him to move out. I was completely unprepared for these events, and the situation hit me like a mega truck. He comes around still and has dinner with them, walks the dog, sees the kids, and all of that. Her husband is really trivializing this and does not think that what he's done has broken the marriage vows or that it's wrong, and thinks that they're just supposed to pick up and go on. And because she can't, he thinks that she's not forgiven him. So her question is, what does forgiveness look like in such a messy situation? She doesn't know if she wants him back now or ever.
Wow.
I know, it's a hard question for running out of time.
No. I mean, that's good, because this is kind of outside our... You need to go talk to some people.
Yeah.
Talk to your pastor. Talk to your family. Come up with a plan. Reasonable people, and come up with a reasonable solution here. But yeah, this is serious.
Yeah.
So he was...
And because she can forgive him, but she doesn't need to stay married to some guy
for child porn.
Yes, was busted for child... She does not need to stay with him.
I don't know.
That doesn't mean forgiveness.
I have very few excuses for divorce.
Right.
That would fall into it, as far as I'm concerned.
But he thinks...
But I'm not your pastor. Yeah. I'm not your family. Me, I say divorce is sorry, but...
I've had a hard time with
talk to your family. Work it out. God bless you guys. See you tomorrow.